This is Global Air Force with your host, Jim Rome.
Thank you for tuning in to Global Air Force Radio. On today's broadcast, I want you to experience the miracle working power of God like you have never experienced it before. Our guest is David Hogan from Freedom Ministries, and he will take us on a journey to Mexico and India and back to Mexico, where you will witness miracles. Here he is, David Hogan.
One day. Good thing. The way I got started praying over cloths, so I was at one of our conferences in Mexico, and an Indian lady came up with a pile of clothes, and she says to me, "I want you to pray over these clothes." Well, I didn't ever hear of that before, just like y'all hadn't, most of you. So I had my boys look up some Bible verses so we could be a little close to it. But over in Acts chapters 19, is it? Or chapter 19, verse 11 and 12. But it says that God did extraordinary miracles. Acts chapter 19. God did unusual and extraordinary miracles. To lay hands upon the sick and they shall recover. He didn't say Paul's hands. He said my hands. Lay hands upon the sick. In Jesus' name, they shall recover. In Jesus' name. Yeah. Diseases and evil spirits from a piece of cloth that touched a man. But it wasn't the man's touch they were after. It's called the anointing. What you need is the anointing. It's not this particular cloth. It's not the man. It's the anointing of the gospel that has the power. We was doing that a conference, and that lady come up, and she had these bundle of clothes. I didn't know what she wanted. And she says, "I want to pray over it." I said, "Pray over clothes? What for?" She said, "Because my family's all dying back in my village. And I'm going to bring these clothes back and put them on my family. And because you prayed over them, God's going to heal the sick using the clothes you prayed over." And I thought that was funny. I'd never heard of that in my life. But then the boys read that verse to me. And I have read that over and over and over, but it never meant anything to me until a person asked me for help. And so we laid our hands upon this, on her clothes, and the lady never even stayed for a service. She went back to her village, and her whole family was sick, and she started with the baby first, and as she put the clothes on the baby first, everybody in the family was healed. All of them. Yeah. That was my first time to encounter that. So now we do it all the time. So don't be ashamed or afraid, because I'm not intimidated. You see me? I apologize. I'm not intimidated, because Jesus is King. That's why. But all of her whole family was healed. And then the first time I saw it in the United States, I was up in Michigan, really close to the Canadian border, and this big hog farmer came up. That fellow was big. He big fella. And he walked up there and he says, I want your handkerchief. You know, and I told him, dude, you know, you can probably take it, but I'm probably not going to give it to you. And he said, yep, you're going to give me that handkerchief. He said, because my mama is in the nursing home. She's blind, in a coma, and she has bronchial asthma. And you're going to give me that handkerchief, and we're going to put it on my mama, and God's going to heal her. And he was a big fella. I said, look, you say you're a hog farmer. Why don't you just give me a hog for my handkerchief? He didn't think that was a good idea. I did. So my wife was there, so she went ahead and gave him my handkerchief. She does that a lot. Y'all, that family took my handkerchief to the hospital where the mama is dying. She's in a coma. She's blind. She has bronchial asthma. And they lay that thing on that lady, and instantly she came out of the coma, raised up, grabbed that handkerchief off of her face, and her eyes popped open. And the next day, the bronchial asthma left her body, and she was healed, and they sent her home from the hospital, and she was 80-something years old, this lady. Yeah. So it's a good idea to pray over stuff. So why don't y'all bring some stuff and we'll pray over it. That's all the explanation I'm going to do. So what I want to do is earlier, thank y'all, Exodus 15, verse 26, Holy Ghost. And it says these words, if you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God. See, heed, hearken, it's the same thing. Listen to the voice of the Lord. I believe the word of God over everybody. And it says, if you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God and will do what's right in his sight and will listen to and obey his commandments and keep his statutes, I will put none of the diseases upon you which I have brought upon Egyptians, for I am the Lord who does what?
Heals.
I am the Lord who does what?
Heals.
I need you to say this with me, Lord God.
Lord God.
I need healing in my body.
I need healing in my family.
I need healing in my land.
I need God to bless the land.
In the name of Jesus. So I was over in India, right? And we had a big old hall rented. It was three stories. It was completely full of people on all three stories. And the name of Jesus was healing the sick, right? And it got really late, like 1 or 2 in the morning. And I felt hungry, right? So I wanted some curry. But I still got like 3,000 people to pray for. We're going to be here to daylight. So I decided that I was going to sneak out. You know, here I am, a big white guy. You know, you can't very well sneak anywhere when you're my color in the land I was in. And so I'm going through the people because I wanted to go eat some curry and rice, right? And this guy grabs me on the shoulder and flips me around, and there's a man standing there. His right hand is shriveled up. It's like, oh, looks like a bone with skin draped over it. And his left hand was really strong because that's the only one he had. And he started talking to me in Hindi, and I don't speak Hindi. I do speak a few languages, but one of them's not Hindi. And he's talking, blah, 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 blah. So I tried Spanish on him because I could speak Spanish. And he couldn't understand me. And so then I tried English, and then I know a little bit of German. So then I tried French, and we just couldn't communicate. And he says, and then he did this. Watch what he did. His hand is shriveled like this. He did this. Okay, I got it. You want me to pray to God so God, my God, will touch your hand and give you a healing. And I said, you want me to pray to God to heal you? I said, all right. And I'm telling you, it went exactly like it did for Jesus in the temple. I had never seen with my eyes a withered hand healed. I just read it in the Bible. And when I touched that man's hand, it went and just swole up all the way down right in front of us. I'm going, whoa, what in the world? And it scared me good. And I thought, I might ought to stay and heal some more sick, because that was a pretty good miracle. But I kept going to the back door, right? And I get on the stairs to go down to our car that they had for us. Y'all, there was a lady in the dormitory that had bled out. She had an issue of blood, it's called. She bled out right on the floor. All of her, she's dead. And so my son-in-law, they told me, you got to come and pray for this lady. I said, I'm not. I'm going to go eat. And see, and in y'all's world, you think that I owe you, but the problem is I don't. I owe Jesus. And my son-in-law, he says to me, Brother David, you got to, I said, dude, I got to go eat some curry. I'll come back and pray for this lady. Because if she's dead, she's not going anywhere. And see, you think I'm making light or a joke. I'm not. I was just hungry. It's not difficult. Jesus is King. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about Jesus. It's about Jesus. It's about Jesus. And my son-in-law says, will you give me 5 minutes? I said, help yourself. So he goes running in there, wading through blood on the floor, tracking it. And he lays his hands upon this lady in the name of Jesus, and nothing happened. Nothing happened. So he come back. I said, what'd you do besides get bloody? You got blood all over your shoes. He said, nothing. Nothing happened. I said, well, let's go eat. And see, you don't get it. You believe different than I do. Jesus is the life giver. Jesus is the life giver. What does your Bible say in John chapter 14, verse 6? What does it say? Somebody quote it to me. Jesus is the way. Do you hear me?
Yes.
Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the life. No man can get to the Father except through Jesus. None of these other gods, none of these other sources, resources are going to work for you. It takes the name of Jesus. So my son-in-law and I, we had some curry. It was really hot. And we go to bed. So they come and got me at 7 a.m. and said, it's time for you to preach again. So I got up, got ready. We went and preached. Now watch this. When I got there, the place is double the people. Yesterday, the three floors are completely full. Today, as far as you can see, there's people in the daylight, and the three floors are full. And I asked the people, what are they doing? They said, it's because you don't know what happened. I said, the withered arm got healed? They said, yeah, the withered arm got healed, but there's more. The lady that had lost all of her blood, when we left, she came back to life. Listen, and they said, she's waiting on you in there. So I go in there, and there's this lady. I'd never seen her before in my life. And there must have been 100 women, and they're all laid on the floor, and every one of them were waiting on me to get there. Do you know why? They all wanted to get saved. Every one of those people got saved because they saw their friend rise from the dead. And she's healed. All the blood she lost, I don't have a clue how she got it back. All I know is your God is amazing. And I've come here to tell you how amazing your God is. Do you hear me? He is the Lord that heals. Say, Lord God. Say it. I take you as my healer. I take you as my deliverer. And I bless this land. In the name of Jesus. We call on the power of the gospel. In Jesus' name. Holy Ghost. Let's read this one more time. Exodus 15, verse 26. And I want you to say this with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I will diligently listen to you. I will hear the voice of the Father. I will do what's right in His sight.
I will do what's right in His sight.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
I will obey.
I will obey.
It says, you will listen to and obey His commands and keep His statutes. And it says, this is what your Bible says. I will put none of the diseases. Say diseases.
Diseases.
Out.
Out.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Diseases.
Diseases.
Out.
Out.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Healing.
Healing.
Come to me.
Come to me.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Healing.
Healing.
Come to my home.
Come to my
home. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus'
name. Psalms 103. See it? Holy Ghost. So how do you think, why do you think God lets me touch dead people and they get up? Why do you think that? I was raised in a Christian home. Eighth generation preacher's son. That's me. Eight generations. Right here. But we couldn't do anything. They had great music. They had their little commandments on the wall. They had their Bible reading every Sunday, every Wednesday. They had prayer meetings. They had classes. They had everything except the power of God. Does that sound familiar to you? So when are you going to get tired of putting so much effort into being around God and not experiencing God? Where is it? Where is it that you get tired of it and you want to see His mercy? I'm not mad at you, but I have got to incite you to want more of God. I have got to prod you and make you think, because most people believe they're good if they'll just go to church and open their Bible. Like open their Bible and read a Bible verse. That doesn't help you. You have to believe in your heart. You have to believe in your heart. You have to believe. I was in the oil field. My wife and I got married, and I worked as an oil field hand in the Gulf of Mexico. Made lots of money. I got saved. I got filled with the Holy Ghost. And I started serving God, but I couldn't do anything. Your Bible clearly has a list. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, and cast out demons. That's what your Bible says. Your Bible says that. You see how people are starting to believe? You see what's happening? I'm good at this, buddy. I can do this. You hear me? I can talk you into believing. I can do this. Because it works. And when people see, I'm a lunatic to you. But you see that I believe what I'm telling you. You can see it on me. Whether you believe or not is not relevant. You can see that I believe. And that's convincing. It's convincing. Look, I tell you that. I'm talking about these people are good, hardworking people, but working good and having money is just not—it's just not enough. If God is real, show me, or be quiet. So I didn't know what to do. So I went down. Y'all, what I did is I took the Bible apart, meaning I studied it, and I took notebooks. I had a stack of notebooks, and I took all the men in the Bible. From the beginning in Genesis to Revelation, and I put them in notebooks, and I studied their lives. I studied their prayer life. I studied their family life. I studied their businesses, and I studied how they sought God in fasting and prayer. And also I studied the results, and I found out that through all the thousands of years that it took to compile the Bible, whatever you teach here, I'm good with. I don't care. Numbers are not the thing. It's a lot of years that men were seeking God when they put the Bible together by the power of the Holy Ghost. The answer in every generation was exactly the same. You seek God with prayer and fasting, and you commit yourself to trust in Him, and God responded. That happened all the way through the ages. And every time men takes the Bible and a response from God, a miracle, and they build a religion around it. They put men's rules to it and weigh it down with things that can't be done. Too many rules. And God wants, Jesus loves you where you're sitting and who you are. Jesus loves you right there at that spot. And so I went to God with it. And I said, God, how do I, in a modern world, how do I get you to do what you did in the days of old? There was no response. So I started mimicking. I started patterning my life after a few people. Elijah was one of them. Moses was one. Jesus, of course. Paul was another one. I patterned my life after these men in the Bible. For years, I got no results. Zero. And one day, I went out to a village, not a famous village, not even a big village, but an Indian guy met me at my truck. He said, Brother David, my son is dying. I need you to come and help me. I said, what do you want? He said, I don't want my son to die. I said, fair enough. But first, we have to preach the gospel. Tenemos que predicar que Cristo resucitó. Ese primero. Cristo resucitado. Cristo vive. We have to preach that Jesus is alive. That God raised Jesus from the dead. He said, está bien, hermano. Vamos a predicar un Cristo vivo. He said, it's good. Let's preach it. So I went and we had churches similar to this. It was different, but similar. There was people and we was trying to find Jesus. That's closest I can get you. And after church was over, after we got through doing our thing, he asked me, are you going to pray for my son? And I said, well, I forgot. But yeah, I'll go with you. So we start walking through the jungle. You know, it's just me and about 25, 30 people. And I start hearing a woman screaming. She's a lady. She's screaming. Ah! And we come to this hut. And the guy goes in. They bent down. It's bamboo with a grass roof. He went in there and he comes out. And I had no idea. See, what they need is a destiny moment. A purpose moment with the Holy Ghost. Because when that man came out of that hut and he raised up in my face, he's an Aztec Indian, and he pointed his finger right in my face. And he said something to me that changed my life. He said, my son is dead. Now you gonna do something about it. Well, I can't do anything about it more than you can. Do you understand me? Every one of us are the same in that arena. We are not life givers. Jesus is the life giver. And I said, let me see him. So we go in into his hut. And when I get in there, they had like three or four candles going. You know, it took a minute for my eyes to accustom to it. And standing right there, there were witch doctors standing there. These people hate me. And they're cursing me. I mean, some harsh language. I've never seen a dead person rise, but I'm not going to bow to the witch doctor. Do you understand me? I'm not bowing to evil. That's evil. And I'm not going to bow. So I went up to the witch doctor. And I mean, they're cursing me. It was six of them. And I spoke to each one of them in Aztec. Cristo, Kipia, Chikawa, Kata. Jesus is the power of God for you. And I told every one of them that. And then I turned around and the mother's like, she's in the middle of the floor. And she's holding her little 9-year-old boy. And I walk over to that lady. She laid her dead son down. Now that boy's been dead for over 5 hours, closer to six. Okay. And it don't matter how you were raised. It doesn't matter. They didn't teach you how to raise the dead in your family. You hear me? They had taught you a lot of different kind of ethics, work, social, family life. They told you a lot of good things, but none of you were taught how to raise the dead. The church is failing us. We need Jesus to step in. We need help. We need the power of the gospel. This stuff is real. We need Jesus now. Please hear me. Jesus loves us. And you kids, you listen to me. I'm here to tell you one thing. Jesus took this hand right here. You see that? Look at that chopped off finger. Look at the scars. You see that? A working man hand. And guess what he's done with this? 38 dead raisins with this hand. What's special about it? Well, it's got a chopped off finger and some scars. What's special is Jesus. And he loves me. And guess what? I believe him. Isn't that right? I was 24 when that happened. Y'all, I tried to find a pulse on that kid. Wasn't no pulse. He dead. You cry out to God. How do you cry out to God? What does that look like? Give me a definition to that. It's real. That little boy was really dead, and then there was no hope. I'm not a good guy. So how do you cry out to God? What does that look like? How do you define that? Well, I know. I started in Spanish. Cristo, ayúdenos, por favor, tóquenos, llénenos, bautízanos con su Espíritu Santo, tráenos vida, queremos vida, Cristo! Nothing. And that was the right words to say. So I tried it in English. Same thing, no response. Jesus, bring life, help, heal, bring this boy back. Nothing. So I spoke in tongues, spoke in Aztec. And then I'm just holding that little old boy. It'd been going on for over an hour. Please, Father, help me. And that's when I felt it. I felt his little wrist bump. And I'm looking at it. What the? And I saw his t-shirt bounce. Boom. His heart kicked him. And I saw it. And you see me? You can't take that from me. When you experience what I experience, nobody can have that. God showed me that little boy's heartbeat. I watched his shirt bounce. And I'm going, are you serious? And then it got over here to it. It was sporadic. And it cut off. And then his heart was cranking up. And then finally, and then the color in his skin came back. And then he got flexible. And then his little eyes opened up. He was back from the dead. So what that does is really messes your life up, because I have seen the power of God. I watched the witch doctors curse me, and I watched God heal that little boy anyway. It messes your life up, because you see, few of you in this room believe that. Few of you. But look at me. Does it seem to bother me that you don't believe? The problem you have is I'm what's called a believer. You not believing has no effect on who my God is. Jesus is King. Jesus is King. One day.
David Hogan from Freedom Ministries.
Global Air Force wants you. Be a part of the Global Air Force Radio Ministry. Please go to our website at www.globalairforce.net.
All passengers boarding for Global Air Force are now boarding at KK1.